I'm really excited though. I feel like, yeah, I was praying, I was wrestling, I was trying to ask the Lord, okay, you've given me 35 minutes. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to train these women in? What about your heart, God, do you want them to know? And so very quickly, the Lord was like, my heart that's throughout all of Scripture. And so I'm really excited to jump in to this Bible study we're going to do today. We're going to call it a power study. And so I'll talk about it a little bit. I'll tell you guys a little bit more about myself, and then we'll jump into the study together. But yeah, a quick story of just how I got here, who I am. I was serving in India about 4 or 5 years in to serving there, and like I said the other week at church, like the Lord has allowed me to see some really cool things. It's a humbling position to be on the front lines of getting to see Indian people give their life to Christ. And like I mentioned the other week, like watching the families melt down their silver and gold idols for Christ. There's hard days, there's good days, but it's worth it. It's worth it, it's worth it. He is worthy. I was sitting over there though, and I'm like, man, okay, Lord, like, you haven't taken away the desire for me to, like, want to get married. Like, what's the deal? What's the plan, Lord? And so I'm praying. And then very kindly, the Lord crosses Ryan and I's paths on an online dating app, which I wouldn't recommend to everyone, but also it's the way the Lord chose to cross mine and Ryan's path. So very quickly, I think it was literally like the second phone call, maybe first phone call, it was very evident, like, okay, like Ryan has this heart and this passion and is called to the 1040 window, and he's going. He's a man on mission. And I'm over here, and I'm overseas, living under a rock is what it felt like, praying for a man on mission. And the Lord just kindly crossed our paths. And then now has like united us, and we'll be moving back to India in January. So we've gotten to serve at Rocky Mountain Calvary Ryan's been serving there the last 3-4 years. He helped build E4, and then he's been working alongside with Dan Johnson in the mission and evangelism department, and we've gotten to serve at RMC in evangelism this last year, and it's been really cool. Like, the Lord is moving, and the Lord is training and equipping and stirring RMC's hearts to reach Colorado Springs. And we are, like, firm believers, and what we see all throughout the Bible is if, like, a person reaches their neighbor, eventually it reaches that person over there. And so we all want to be faithful to our neighbors. We want to be goers to our neighbors and see them where they're at. Okay, so I'm going to pray for us. And then we'll jump in. God, we just love you. We praise you. We worship you. Man, you're so good. And you're working and you're moving. And you pick your disciples, your children to use. And we're messy people and we have a lot that can get in our way. But Lord, you've called us. You've called us to be a part of seeing the Great Commission fulfilled. You've given us roles. You've given us responsibilities. Lord, you've equipped us by your word, by the body. Lord, would we not take that lightly? Lord, but would we walk in that obediently, Lord, representing your image here on earth, God, as that's your plan. So God, I ask that you would come during this time. I pray that you would stir in people's hearts. I pray that we would have humble and teachable hearts. God, would you change us and sculpt us, God? Lord, would you speak through me as your vessel, Lord? We just say thank you. We thank you for your word and your instruction, and just that you're here with us during this retreat. You're here with us always, God, and you've placed us in the middle of your beautiful creation. So we just thank you for your presence today, God. Do the thing that only you can do, Lord. We love you. Amen. I can't decide. Do I need the microphone? I love it. See? It's always that way. I just need it. Oh. I need it. I'm good. Okay, good. Yay. Yeah, you guys just signal me if I need it. Okay, so what are we doing? We're going to jump into the handout that is in your hand right now. So as I was praying about it, God said, yeah, teach them about my heart, dive into my heart, about what I care about what I'm going after. And he's going after all people in all places. And so, like, if our Father, if he is doing that and pursuing all people in all places to the ends of the earth, then us, in this room, we get to do the exact same thing. We get to pursue all people in all places to the ends of the earth. Whew. I just picture the map, the globe, literally just being filled with his glory. Filled. I can't wait until I walk down the streets of India, and instead of hearing bhajans sing to false idols, to false gods, I can't wait to walk down the streets and hear songs of praises to Jesus, the one and only true living God. And so I'm really excited for that. Real quickly, so this first little section, it says, read the verses and answer the question, what was God's plan? So I'm actually going to leave this little section for you guys to do later, but I would encourage you guys to read those four verses later in Genesis. But real quick, a summary of those four verses is we see over and over again that God's vision and God's heart is to see his image fill the earth. Over and over again. From day one to the flood, he tells us to populate the earth and fill it with his image. And we were created in his image. We are his image bearers here on the earth. And so we know that that's God's plan. So let's keep that in mind as we dive into this study. You'll see in the second section that it says, now look at the following verses and ask, how far does God's plan reach? Who did he choose to use to accomplish his plan? So, okay, this is going to be, it's going to feel a little different. It's kind of changing things up. But I'm actually going to ask you guys to get with maybe three or four people around you. And we're going to do a power study. So this side of the room is going to start from the bottom and work up. And then this side of the room is going to work from the top down. Okay? So go ahead and you're going to break up into groups of like three or four people. And start, yes, you'll start in, yep, the bottom of the chart. And basically just jot down the answers that you're seeing in these columns. Any questions? So, yes. So basically, if this room starts from the bottom up, you can just literally start working your way up, and then this side. I think just all the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a hard
taskmaster
there.
let's call a power study. This is for the next like 10 minutes, so.
All nations, tribes, people, yeah. And
Yeah. You're good.
Oh, I looked. Could it be John? No.
We're a little confused. Like we're reading Revelation 7, 9, 10.
We're not really confused, but it just seems like it's the same
answer.
Same answer for both questions, I think.
So is it a great multitude?
Yes.
And
then it's changed. So, yeah, we see all nations around his throne worshiping him. We see the promise at the completed plan of God.
Yeah.
And then everyone to complete his promise. So, like, he uses the bride, the church, the nations to reach, to fulfill the plan. I know that's a little, it's a little goofy starting at the bottom, too. good job, y'all. Sorry, y'all. Red flag. Good, good. I'm hearing good things. Really wrong or really right? Yeah. Look at that, though. Everyone's getting the power study, though. They're
good.
You guys are getting it done. Do you guys need any help or have any questions?
It's always one of those, I think we've got it.
I know, I know. I bet. That's right. You're reading the Word of God, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Can you tell that I've done this? feel like the answer is everybody, everywhere. Do a lot of these.
Yes, yes. You see the heart. It's crazy, I know. Means we're all on the right track. Phew. Pick good verses. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, okay, are we about, we're about halfway? Yep, yep. Okay, so I think you guys should be getting around halfway through, I think. Yep, somewhere around there. Perfect. Does anyone love writing on a whiteboard? Any teachers? Any scribes? Yes. Are you the person? That would be amazing. Yes. Thank you. Well, yeah, sorry my lines are bad, but... Okay, so really quickly, we're going to go through these columns and we're going to answer these questions for this verse, these verses. So how far does God's plan reach? And then who did he choose to use to accomplish his plan? So you guys are just going to popcorn the answers out. She's going to write them up on the board. And then we're going to look at the conclusion and summarize it. Okay, so let's start with Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Genesis 12, thank you. Genesis, I was testing everyone. See, they're looking at my beautiful whiteboard. Okay, yes, yes, see? Genesis 12, 1 through 3. What does it say? Yes. All the families? Yeah. New land, new people. Who did he use to accomplish? Yep. Abraham. You can just, yeah. says his name changed. I know. All right, what about Exodus?
Full earth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, what about the next one? The Israelites. And specifically Moses. Yes. Yes, you're right. I'm so sorry. I think my lines. Yes, yes. Yes.
Oh, this is Israelites.
Yes.
The next one. I'm sorry. Okay. My lines are wrong. No, it'd not be wrong.
She was doing her head, so you would feel like it was going to be wrong.
So then, okay, we got Exodus 20 here. All the people and Moses.
Moses.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 49.
Enter the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we.
These are all great questions. Yeah. Was it all of the above? Jesus? Yeah. And then Matthew 28, 18 through 20.
All nations.
And then who does he use?
Disciples.
Yeah. What about Acts 1:8? You guys got that. Yes. Ends of the earth. Judea, Samaria. Jerusalem. You can just put the initials of the city. And then who does he use? Yeah, disciples, followers. Acts 8:1. What do we see?
Judea and Samaria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people were scattered among, Judea, Samaria. Mm-hmm. Yes, the church. And 19:10, Acts.
All of
Asia. All of Asia. Yes. And then Paul and disciples. Acts 20:20. Anybody back there? All houses, yes. House to house. Yeah, all houses. And then who did he use?
All believers.
Yeah, all believers, Paul. Okay, just a few more. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. And then who did he use? Thank you so much for doing this. Yes. Uh-oh. And then we've got 1 Peter 2:9. Anyone? Say that answer again, Stephanie.
I wrote
chosen people throughout the world, because, yeah, his chosen people are throughout the world. Yeah. Good job, y'all. This is great. This is a power study. See? Okay, Psalms 67, 1 through 4.
Wait, did I do
you're right. Who did he use in 1 Peter 2, 9? Yeah, the royal priesthood, disciples, followers. Mm-hmm. Us. Yeah. And then what about Psalm 67, 1 through 4?
All people, all the nations.
Awesome. And who did he use? All people, all nations, followers, yeah. Yeah. And then last but not least, Revelation 7, 9 through 10.
All people, all tribes, all nations, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay. Yeah, he uses everyone to complete his promise. Or you can put the bride also in the church. I also need a sip of water. Okay, so, yeah, we see a theme. Thanks for doing that. Yeah, throughout Genesis and Revelation, we see God's heart and what it's about and how beautiful it is. How he met us where we're at. And then it goes on. It goes on to our neighbor. It goes on to the villages. It goes on to the nations. So how would you guys, I would love a couple of you guys, actually, what we'll do, you can turn to your neighbor and kind of summarize what we just read. Like, what is God's heart? After reading these verses, go ahead and tell your neighbor, what is God's heart? This is beautiful work. I took a picture of it. Okay, let's have a couple people go ahead and shout their summary out. That'd be awesome. I'm all about interaction to reach the whole world. Yeah. Amen. 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 Anyone else want to shout theirs out too? Yes, go Tammy. My erase.
See all of that as the fulfillment of John 3:16 and the Great Commission.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like God loves the whole world.
Uh-huh. Okay. This is a longer process.
Yeah.
Than I thought it was gonna be. Oh, amen. Okay. So real quick, let's turn to Mark 4, 26 through 29. And to kind of go with gardening, I thought we'd dive into the principles of the kingdom of God. Mark 4, 26 through 29. And I don't have this on the sheet, but I would recommend that you draw it out, somewhere on the blank piece of paper. Okay. And then once someone is there, could someone read it really loud? Perfect. Yes. Thank you. Thanks so much. So this is one of my favorite parables because it really paints the picture of the kingdom of God, the principles of how we're supposed to live our life. So this is how we draw it out in India. So I love a whiteboard, very simple, stick figures, all of that. So who is this story about? Who is the character in it? A farmer. Yeah, so we have a farmer here. And then what is the first thing the farmer has to go and do? Okay, so before he puts out seed, he actually has to go to a field, right? He has to go someplace. He's got to find some land. So he goes. And then next, he scatters seed. Yeah. 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 You guys. Again. Okay, so yeah, he scatters seed. And then 2 Corinthians 9:6 tells us and reminds us that we better sow abundantly. So that we can reap abundantly, not sparingly. And so a good farmer, he doesn't just throw a couple seeds out, right? He covers the field if he wants to see a harvest. Okay, so then after that, then what happens in this story? Yeah, it takes root and it starts growing. And then he takes his sickle to the field and he gathers them together. He harvests. That's exactly right. Okay, so just like the farmer, actually after he harvests, as he's doing this, a wise farmer, he doesn't just do the job by himself, right? That would be a very hard job. But oftentimes the farmer, he has family, he has neighbors, he hires people, he has children that he passes it on to so that the harvest, so that the farm can go on for generations and generations. So we have other farmers here in the middle. So, just like the farmer, we as disciples are the farmer. And we're to go to new places, new people, neighbors, nations who need to know about Jesus. So that's field one. And then the second field, we want to sow the seed, which is the gospel. And just like the farmer, we don't want to just sow one or two seeds and hope for the best. No, we want to sow broadly. We want the good news to ring out among the nations and all these people in all these places. And then we're going to trust God that he'll produce fruit and growth and that this seed will take root in people's heart, like we've been talking about. Then, okay, we know that, man, we as believers, we're called to be in community. We've talked about that. And so just as we're sowing these seeds, watching disciples grow, we want to gather them together. We want to bring them to church. We want to bring them into our house. Teach them what fellowshipping looks like. Teach them what accountability looks like. As we're doing these things, we don't want to do it alone, right? We want to find other farmers. We want to link up with our sisters so that every field can be reached with the gospel. We're not doing it alone, but I know when I leave for India, people are here in Colorado Springs doing the work, reaching their neighbors, because that's how we're going to reach the nations. Okay, so this is called Four Fields. It's one of my favorite drawings, but basically, yeah, it just talks about how and what we're called to do as believers. So I thought during the rest of our time, real quick, I would have you guys brainstorm a couple fields. And so these fields, they might be places we're already going. They might be our neighborhoods. They might be a park. Or they might be just a completely random place that the Lord put on your heart. Maybe it's the mall. Maybe it's, I don't even know. I don't know Colorado Springs that well. So you guys can fill in the blank. So I would just encourage you guys to take a minute, jot down three fields, and then we'll move on from there. Okay, so real quickly, we'll have a couple people just shout out their field that they wrote down. Work, the workplace, yes. What about someone from this side? Anyone over here? Neighborhood, yes. Over here? Yeah, kids' friends, kids' parents, all of that. I love that. Yes, kids, your home. Exactly right. Grocery stores, yes, gas stations, all the places. So I'd ask you guys and challenge you guys to keep praying about your fields. Ask the Lord to change your heart, change your vision when you're going about your life into these places, that we might not miss an opportunity to share the good news with these people that the Lord has brought to us. Okay, so how do I get to a spiritual conversation in my field? I just have a couple lines jotted down, and I'll read them out, and then I want you guys to turn to a neighbor and come up with a new one. Come up with one more before we close out. So can I share a little bit about my spiritual beliefs? Mm-hmm. Have I ever told you why I follow Jesus? So these are in the middle of a conversation, maybe with a new friend, maybe at the cash register, maybe with a waiter or waitress. Maybe you're at a sports game and a mom shares something with you. You say, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm a follower of Jesus. Is there any way like we could pray about that right now together? So it's kind of learning how to, weave in just spiritual conversations with friends, with family, with your neighbors. And then the last two are, we are about to pray before our meal. Is there any way we could pray for you? So just, you're eating out with your family, about to say grace. Just ask your waiter or waitress. And you might get a hard no, and that's okay. It's okay. We see that all throughout Scripture. We see Jesus denied. We see people persecuted. And so it's okay to get a no. We can dust off our feet like it talks about in Luke 10. But sometimes you'll get the waiter or waitress who, is soft-hearted. And that's what they've been waiting for all day, or asking the Lord for. Does someone see me? Does someone know I'm struggling? And then you're literally a vessel that walks in and says, hey, can I pray for you? So I would just challenge you guys to do that. It might be a little uncomfortable, but man, your small disciples are watching you guys. So set that pace for your family. Invite that waiter or waitress to join you in prayer right then and there. Like, the kingdom's coming. Let's usher it in. Like, that's exciting. Okay, and then lastly, could I share a story with you that changed my life? So you guys have a story. You guys have a testimony. It doesn't have to be big or fancy or long. It just has to talk about Jesus' goodness and what he did. That's the story that will change people's life. And so maybe turn to a neighbor real quick and either come up with a new line or tell them the one that you want to try later this week. I'll give you guys about a minute to do that. Okay. Okay, it sounds like you guys are having really good conversation, and I love that. Like, you guys are brainstorming, dreaming, probably talking about specific people that you guys want to reach and pray for, and so I'm really excited about that. Don't let this conversation end. I would encourage you guys in a week to text the buddy you're sitting next to or follow up at church and say, how did it go? Did you get to do it? Give the opportunity to share a story or discouragement with each other. So I think the enemy sometimes wants to come in and tell us that we're not able to do this or we're not qualified. But we see examples all throughout scripture where it's a sinner, it's a broken person who meets Jesus, encounters Jesus in his goodness, turns around and shares with their town. In Luke 8, the demon-possessed man encounters Jesus, is healed, turns around to his town. Jesus trusts him with the good news. And so, man, all those lies that try to distract you or disqualify you, let's get them out. Tell them to a neighbor, tell them to a friend, because the Lord has empowered us as disciples to go out and reach our neighborhoods all the way to nations. So I wish I had longer this is just awesome. It's so fun to be in this with you guys, to sit in the Lord's heart for the way he cares about people and places. I'm just thankful that we worship a Lord who cares. Amen. And meets those people and is pursuing the people in the tiniest village somewhere I don't even know the name of. You know, like, praise God. We don't worship a far-off God, but he's close, he's near, he's pursuing. If you guys are interested in learning more about how to share your faith, my husband Ryan and I will have a Compelled class in October 12th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and childcare is provided. It's free, there'll be a free lunch there, and yeah, we're broken up into groups. It's just a lot of practice, a safe place. It's really fun, actually, and not scary, and so we'd love to have you guys there. Yeah, good. Yeah. And then, yes, it does. It's fun. It's a good time. And then lastly, at Restoration Church in Denver, Colorado, we're having a Compelled Worship Night. And it'll be a worship and prayer night with small messages sprinkled in of how to reach your neighbors, how to reach Colorado Springs, and just kind of how to set goals for your ministry in your hometown. So I'm really excited about it. We'll be there. And also, yes, there's an email sheet in back if you guys are interested in following Ryan and I's just journey to India in our ministry. We'd love to have you guys on that list. It's on the table with the Bible study books in back.
So last week I went and saw twice, because it was so good. I went and saw the movie The Forge.
Yeah.
And one of the main lines in that movie was, you need to be more of a fountain. Be a fountain more than a drink. So,
That's good. Yeah, let's be a fountain. I love that. Okay, I'm going to pray us out. Thank you guys again for coming, and I hope you guys enjoy the mountain time, too. God, we just say thank you. Lord, you're so good and you're just worth it all. We love to be in your word and just see your heart for your people, like you care about them. You care about us, Lord. And so, Lord, we just say thank you for being with us, God, for showing us your heart. Lord, and God, I just pray that all the women at the retreat and in this room, Lord, that we would be vessels for you. God, that you would speak to us, Lord, that we would encounter you, commune with you, just abide with you, that you would cultivate our hearts, Lord, that you would prepare the harvest as we go out as laborers, because we know that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so right now, God, I just pray against any lies from the enemy, just that disqualify us. But Lord, you've called us, you've sent us out, to go make disciples. Like, what a joy, what a privilege that is, Lord. So would we, in our busy days, in our to-do list, would we not lose sight of of our purpose, of your heart, of our heart, Lord, of all people and all places coming to know you and singing praises that you deserve, Lord. Would you just stir in our hearts, God, what is the next step for us? Would you help us be obedient, because we need that help. We need courage and we need grace. So give us those things, God. We're so weak, but you are so strong, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.